Welcome to New Creation Christian Center. My name is Harold Franklin, and I'm the pastor of New Creation. We meet on Saturday nights at 7 in Seattle, Washington. We hope the Word of God changes and challenges your life and that you are refreshed and renewed by hearing the Word, because the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So we thank you for joining us. And now we'll get into this week's message. We left off last time. We were just talking about the different names that the devil or demons are known by. They were unclean spirits, evil spirits, deaf and dumb spirits, blind spirits, etc., etc. And so what we're going to talk about tonight are the activities of demon spirits or satanic activities, occultic activities, things that the devil uses to try to deceive people. And then we also want to talk about our weapons against the devil so that we can fight and defeat the devil. Amen? Because that's the most important part. Amen? You know, it's one thing to know how the devil works. It's another thing to know how to beat him at his game. Amen? We need to beat him at his game. Otherwise, we will lose. So, the main way in which the devil attempts to operate is in what's commonly referred to as the occult. Now, the occult is, there's a lot of different definitions of the occult, and I'm not going to really attempt to define it, but the occult has to do with things like witchcraft, sorcery, black magic, white magic, mediums, seances, astrology to its extreme, all these things that try to get you into the spirit world without going through Jesus. And remember, this is the goal of the devil, is that Jesus said that no man can come to the Father but how? Unless you go through him. Well, the devil's attempts to get people to get into the spirit realm without going through Jesus. Okay? So anytime you try to enter the spirit realm outside of the blood of Jesus, outside the protection of Jesus Christ, you have now entered into the spiritual realm of the devil. And it may seem initially like it's great, it's fine, and you have all these gifts and powers and talents and abilities, but sooner or later, he's going to reveal himself for who he really is, and he's going to deceive you, and he's going to trap you. And that's the way he works. He lures you in, and then he traps you. And so remember that unless it's through Jesus, it's an illegal entry into the spirit world. Amen? So, you know, people say, well, you know, what's wrong with magic? Or what's wrong with, you know, and I'm not talking about card tricks. I'm not talking about that kind of magic. I'm not talking about the, you know, people who do things behind their back. I'm not talking about that kind of magic. I'm talking about magic where people are trying to cast spells on other people, trying to give you favor through casting spells, trying to predict the future for you through seances or divination. Like we talked about, there's psychic places popping up all over the area now. And these are all demonic forces spoken of in the Bible that God specifically told the children of Israel they were not to participate or engage in those kinds of practices. Amen? So let me just list a few things or a few activities that are involved in the occult. Like we said, magicians. And let's go to, I'll probably almost stay in Exodus. So most of this is going to be in the Old Testament. So let's go to Exodus chapter 7, verse 11. And this is the beginning of the Exodus story. And if you go, A little background. This is when, Moses, I forgot his name for a second. Moses threw his rod down, and the magicians did the same. So let's pick up where verse 11. It says, "But Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. So the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments." Everybody say enchantments. "For every man threw down his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods, and Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them as the Lord had said." So notice that these magicians had the ability to do the same kinds of things that Moses did, or in this case, Aaron, because it was Aaron's rod that had been thrown down. But you see that Aaron's command to take his rod and it turned into a serpent was more powerful than their ability to do it. Did you catch that? His rod swallowed their rod. Can you imagine that? Yeah, these guys, they got sticks. They throw their stick down and it turns into a snake, and Aaron throws his stick down and his stick eats their stick. And then he reaches down to pick up their stick and they're looking around as if, where's our stick? So, and that just goes to show us that the devil does have power, but it is in no way compares to God's power. God far exceeds the ability that the devil has, no matter what, magicians or not. And they call them also, they refer to them as wise men. And they were wise because they had power and they had abilities that made people think that they knew more about spiritual things than the average person. And you have to remember, in this time, in the time where the children of Israel were coming out of the land of Egypt, God is just now starting to reveal himself as the God of the universe. Now, don't get me wrong, everybody had heard about God. They knew about the creation story, and they knew about the flood, and they knew about all the things that happened, but they were clearly serving other gods. I mean, they had idols. I mean, Egypt was filled with idols. Matter of fact, some say that every plague Moses called on Egypt attacked the gods of Egypt. So the water, there was a river god, frogs were worshipped. The firstborn son was worshipped. All the things that God attacked in the plagues, according to some, were gods in Egypt. So anyway, let's go get on. So you have magicians, you have wise men, you have divination, which is foretelling future by using magical instruments or an item or a sign. And let's go to Deuteronomy 18, chapter 10. Deuteronomy 18, 10. And he goes through a whole bunch of folks in this passage. It says, "There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or daughter pass through the fire, or who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or who interprets omens, or a sorcerer." Now, omens are things that happen, or signs that they try to get some spiritual meaning out of. Like, for instance, now we see comets fly through the sky, right? Everybody knows that. We see comets, you see lunar eclipses. Well, they would try and interpret those kinds of things and give a spiritual meaning to them. He also goes on to say, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead, for all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations to the Lord your God drives them out from before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God, for these nations which you will dispossess listen to soothsayers and diviners, But as for you, the Lord your God has not appointed such for you. So notice that as a believer, he's talking to obviously the children of Israel, but this is a universal principle to people who believe in God. You are not to put your trust in people who engage in these activities. Nor, and let me say this too, nor are you supposed to be afraid of them. Can you say amen? So a lot of people are afraid of witches, afraid of witchcraft, afraid of, you know, whatever else. I mean, if you go down south, people still play with witchcraft. And I'm not saying it's not a serious thing, but if you're the child of God, if the God of creation by his spirit lives in you, you don't have to be afraid of anything that the devil has. Amen? You can cast out any devil. You can cast out anything and remove all the forces of the enemy that are coming against you, because the scripture says, and no weapon formed against you, what? Come on, say it like you mean it. Shall what? Shall prosper. That means anything the enemy tries to turn on you to make you do something or act like something or get something from you that God did not give him permission to do will not prosper as long as you stay in the will and in the spirit of God. As soon as you get out of the spirit and try to walk in the flesh, then you might be subject to the things that the enemy wants to bring on you. But as long as you stay under the cover of his spirit, there's nothing that the enemy can do to hurt you. Amen? And what I mean by in the flesh, well, if you think, ah, I can handle this, that's in the flesh. You're dependent. You cannot deal with spiritual things in the flesh. Amen? You cannot deal with the devil in the flesh. You're not strong enough. Excuse me. You know the story of the seven sons of Sceva who tried to cast out a devil, and the devil beat up all seven of them. One devil beat seven. So we're no match for the devil in the flesh. But Paul cast out devils. Jesus cast out devils. Peter cast out devils. All the guys cast out devils with the word of God spoken in the authority of the name of Jesus. So we don't have to be afraid of these things. But God says don't practice. Everybody say don't practice. And don't listen to these things. Amen? And when people start to get into these things, you have to let them know that that is not God's will for them. I remember a guy who was, he was talking about doing yoga, and yoga is also, although it's not listed, yoga is an attempt to, how can I say it? It's Eastern mysticism, and it's attempt to allow spirits to counsel with you. So if, and I'm not talking about just the stretch yoga. There's two kinds of yoga. There's yoga that you just stretch and do movements. And then there's the yoga where you have to meditate and do all the other stuff. And it's like, it's kind of like martial arts. Martial arts in and of themselves are not wrong. But every form of martial art has a religious thing attached to it. The higher you go up, the more spiritual it becomes. And you have to become, in some cases, you have to actually become a priest to get into some levels of martial arts. Did you guys know that? So just to learn to do karate is not a big deal. But if you want to get into the second and the degrees that it requires or has, many times you have to do things, give up things, just as if it were a religion. So you have to be careful. But anyway, going back to the story, so this person was talking about doing yoga, getting into yoga and engaging in those. And I said, Lord, I got to tell him that this yoga is not of God. And he was a believer, so I figured, well, and then he came to me before that. He says, I would like for you to mentor me. Okay, I said, well, God, he gave me permission to mentor, so we're going to start with yoga. And so I went on the internet, got the history of yoga, where it came from, and it's directly from all the Eastern religions. So I gave it to him, I shot it over to him, and then we talked about it. I said, see, you cannot, as a believer, engage in Eastern or foreign religious practices, because that is the enemy attempting to bring in deception so that he can draw you away. Remember, we talked about seducing spirits, right? And we remember we said seduction means you're trying to draw somebody into something, right? You know, whether you seduce somebody sexually, you're trying to draw them into a sexual relationship with you. Or if you seduce somebody spiritually, you're trying to draw them away from the truth, all right? And all these things that the enemy engages in are attempts to draw people away from the truth under the guise that they're getting this spiritual knowledge. Amen? I mean, you talk to anybody who does yoga, mysticism, meditation, all these things, Buddhism, they're all supposed to be tapping into this greater power. And if it's not Jesus, it's the devil. There is no other power out there. You can't tap into a greater power and not run into the devil, unless it's through Jesus. Amen? All right, let's move on. Second thing, and like I said, Deuteronomy lists all these things. So enchanter or witch, wizards or sorcerers are people who practice magic or use spells or try to predict future events through spirit contact. All right? They contact spirits. And you've heard the story or the talk about familiar spirits. All right? Now, a lot of times when we talk about familiar spirits, a lot of people talk about them in the context of in your family, and how there is a tendency for if somebody in your family has a sickness, a disease, or in some cases an addiction, then it tries to pass through the family line. A lot of people refer to that as a familiar spirit. But a familiar spirit, according to the scripture, is a spirit that attempts to tell you what's going to happen when you consult it. And the scriptural, the biblical reference to that was when Saul was praying. He said God wouldn't answer him. Remember that? And so what did he go to do? He says, find me a woman that has a familiar spirit so that I can consult her and find out what I'm supposed to do. So familiar spirits are not just family things, but they're also spirits that try to tell you or give you instruction from the spirit world that's outside the kingdom of God. Amen? Next, we look at charmers are people who cast spells on other people. Soothsayers are fortune tellers. Consulters are with familiar spirits. Let's look at Leviticus 19:31. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 31. And it says, give no regard to mediums. Now, what's a medium? A medium is a person. A medium is a go-between. A medium is a person that's in between people and the spirit world that, in some cases, it may even be possessed by a spirit to give messages from the spirit world. Okay? Are you with me here? So he says, give no regard to mediums and familiar spirits. Do not, everybody say, do not seek after them. And notice what he says, to be defiled by them. Well, how can it defile you? How can it defile you? Because it's an entry into the spirit world that has not been given, God has not given you permission to enter into that way. Amen? You can't go to familiar spirits because that's not the way God communicates with his people. Amen? And we have to be careful because sometimes, I don't mean to scare people, and I don't mean to do any damage to the gifts of the Spirit, but sometimes people who have the gifts of the Spirit, the word of knowledge, word of wisdom, all those kinds of things. Some people, when they get into the flesh, act as a witch because they're trying to manipulate people. And those gifts are never intended to manipulate anybody. They're intended to do what? Edify, exhort, and comfort people. Okay? That's the purpose of all the gifts of the Spirit. Not to control you. I don't come up here, I can discern spirits, so y'all better be careful. I'll call you out in a minute. Now see, that's not the right attitude. That's not the way you operate in the discerning of spirits. You don't use the gifts of the Spirit to deceive or try to trick or control people. Amen? So we have to be careful in church, because if you get into the flesh, even when you think you're doing spiritual things, the enemy can use it against you. Let's go back. The next thing is a necromancer. How many ever heard that word? Or a necromancer. A necromancer is a person who speaks to or talks to the dead. So these are people who have seances and try to conjure up dead people. And let me just tell you right away, if somebody says, I want to talk to Uncle Joe, Uncle Joe's not talking. If Uncle Joe's dead, Uncle Joe cannot talk to you from the grave. So if Uncle Joe shows up, that's not Uncle Joe. That's Uncle Joe in the body of a devil. Are you with me here? There is no talking to dead people. That's why, you know, I hate to step on toes, but there is no praying to the saints. The saints can't help you. The ones that are dead, they can help you because they wrote the Bible. But after that, their work is over. Jesus is the only one that died and rose from the dead and can communicate with us now. We don't get to talk to Paul, Peter, James, John, Mark, Matthew, Luke, anybody. The only one we can talk to is Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God. Amen? So we have to be careful about engaging in necromancy without realizing what we're doing. Without realizing what we're doing. And then the last thing is astrology. And let's go to Isaiah chapter 47, verse 13. And you know, astrology is now the big thing. I remember back in the day when I was, before I got saved, everybody wanted to know, what sign are you? And I used to play that game, but now people say that. I don't deal with that anymore. I'm no sign. I'm the sign of the Holy Ghost. That's what I am. 47:13. And it says, you are wearied in the multitude of your counsels. And it says, let now the astrologers, the stargazers, and the monthly prognosticators stand up and save you from what shall come upon you. Behold, they shall be as stubble. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. It shall not be a coal to be warmed by, nor a fire to set before. Thus shall they be to you with whom you have labored. So it says here that the children of Israel at that time were engaging in astrology. And again, I'm not just talking about knowing your signs, but trying to figure out what's going to happen today based on what the moon's doing up in the sky. I mean, I was watching this house hunter show, and a lady didn't want to buy the house because the stars weren't aligned right. She says, oh, you can't buy it today. Why? Because the stars told me that's not, you know, Jupiter is not in its orbit, and the moon and Pluto is, are you kidding me? Planets that you can't even see on a cloudy day are telling you whether to buy a house or not. But that's what happens when you're controlled by these things. You make foolish decisions and you sound foolish. Because the moon has no concern with you. The moon's going to do what the moon's going to do, regardless of what you think it's supposed to do. The moon is on a cycle, just like the days of the year. Just like we're getting ready to get to summer, right? The days are getting longer, right? Now, you know, look, it's 8 o'clock. It's still daylight outside. Now, it'd be stupid for me to say, oh, I can't do anything because it's still daylight out. Well, you knew that in May it was going to still be daylight outside. So why would I let that stop me from doing things? You see how it sounds funny, but that's what people allow themselves to be controlled by. And God says, don't allow those things to control you. Don't be controlled by astrology and stargazing and they call them monthly prognosticators. The prognosticator is somebody who predicts the future based on the stars. And like I said, every major newspaper has an astrology section in it, right? You go to every newspaper, find out I'm this sign this week, and let's see what the astrologers. I don't care what the astrologer says. Let them astrologize about their life. I don't want to know what they have to say. Amen? So we have to be careful. All right, next thing. So we want to look at some of the other activities that the devil engages in. So first of all those things that we just talked about are methods of deception, spiritual deception, okay? Spiritual deception. These things are then the activities that the enemy engages in on the earth. So the first thing we see is that the devil opposes the work of God. Everybody say opposes. What does that mean? He's against it. He's opposite the kingdom. It's just like when you have two teams, one is an opponent of the other. Amen? You're trying the basketball. You got the playoffs going now. There's one team trying to keep the other team from scoring. But the thing about sports is their rules. You got to play by the rules. You can't just, keep people from scoring by sticking your hand in the basket and knocking all the baskets out. That's illegal. That's goaltending. That's basket interference. Can't do that. But the scripture says that the devil opposes the word of God. So let's go to Matthew chapter 13. Verse 19. Matthew chapter 13, verse 19. And it says, when anyone hears the word of God, of the kingdom, and does not understand it, the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is who received the seed by the wayside. Now look what he did. They got the word. They didn't understand it. And so he came to snatch it, take it away. How does he take it away? Does he come in your brain and get those words and ball them up? No, he distracts you. You don't want that church stuff. You're young still. You can get saved later. You got a lot of living to do. I may heard people say stuff like that. Man, I'm too young to go to church. I still got to get my groove on. Sometimes you never get your groove off. Can't get out of the groove. It's amazing what we exchange eternity for. Ever thought about that? You hear people say stuff like, well, I don't want to go to heaven right now because there's a party going on. So let me understand this. So you want to go to a party instead of live forever? Or you want to go get drunk instead of having Jesus take you to be his own, to be with him forever and ever and ever? To live forever without any troubles? I mean, it's amazing what people will exchange eternity for. And sometimes when we don't always catch it when they say it at that time. You know what he just said? That he'd rather go to a club than go to heaven. So in his heart, the club is heaven. That's what they're telling you. My heaven is here, and I'm going to have as much of it as I can get before I die. But we all know that that's an empty heaven. Amen? The dangers and, you know, all the crazy things that go on in there. And yeah. So anyway, the next thing we see is that the devil or demons try to pervert the word of God and seek to hinder the gospel. Amen? So let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 18. And it says, therefore, we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again, but who? Say it out loud. Satan hindered us. Now, did the devil show up and stand in Paul's way? No, he was trying to get in his way. He was trying to prevent him from doing the things that God wanted him to do, whether it was through persecution, people not providing for him to be able to get from place to place. You know that, and that's why it's so important to give, because if God is calling the work, and he has called us all to preach the gospel, to get the gospel out to every creature and all the things. And that's why it's important to give, because that can be a hindrance to the gospel. Amen? So Satan hindered Paul from trying to come to those that were in Thessalonica. Let's go to the next section, next point. They hold people captive. Demons and Satan hold people captive. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26. 2 Timothy 2, chapter 26. And it says here, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil. Now, a snare is another word for what? Anybody know? It's a trap. It's a trap. He's trapped them. Having been taken captive by him, talking about Satan, to do his will. Now, what's Satan's will? We always talk about God's will. What's Satan's will? Anybody ever think about that? Kill, steal, and destroy, but his overall will is anarchy. You guys know what anarchy means? Anarchy means, yeah, complete chaos, no rules, no boundaries, no limits, nothing holding you back. You know, if you want to do it, you should be able to do it. You know, upside down, inside out, with three cats and a dog, whatever it is you want to do, do it. That's his will. So it's the ultimate gratification of the flesh. Okay? That's the will of Satan. So we have to be careful that's why the scripture talks about don't be led by the lust of the flesh, but be led by the Spirit. Because the two are contrary to the other. Right? Isn't that what it says? In Galatians, he says, these two are contrary to the other. All right, next thing we see, that he blinds the minds of unbelievers. And many times I pray this passage, and we're not going to go to all these, but if you want to go to it, it's 2 Corinthians chapter 4:4, and it talks about how Satan blinds the minds of those that don't believe. So when we pray, our prayer should be what? If the devil blinds the minds of those that don't believe, we should pray that the devil, what? The blinders of the devil be removed so that their eyes can see. Jesus many times said to the people that he spoke to, he that had ears to hear, let him hear, or eyes to see. Because the enemy blocks your eyes and blocks your ears from hearing and your eyes from seeing the truth. It's amazing how when I got saved and how once I finally understood what the God's plan of salvation was all about, how I had I tried to say, man, how come I never heard this? It seems so simple. I mean, did that happen to all you guys? Once you got saved, you like, man, all these years I've gone to church. I never really heard the gospel message. Or really, it was me. My eyes were blinded. I didn't see it. Because I do remember people trying to talk to me. And I thought I was a smart something or another. I mean, that was my thing, was pride and, you know, thinking I know all this stuff. I told Annis when I first met her, I was 18. I told her, I could be the president of the United States right now. I was 18 years old. I said, I know enough to be the president of the United States right now. And so she was like, ooh, who does this guy think he is? And I realized that I didn't know half the stuff I needed to know. I mean, but as an 18-year-old, I was haughty, I was high, I was lifted up. That was my sin. I never got high on drugs, on alcohol, but I was high on my own abilities. I thought I was all that. Amen? And thank God he saved me from that. The next thing that the devil does, he sows tares among the wheat. And we know this story. Let's go to Matthew 13, 39. Matthew chapter 13, verse 39. And this is a story about God who talked about how he created a field and planted a good crop in the field. And then he went away, and then tares grew up in the field after he went away. And the Bible says here, and you go to verse 38. Let's start at 38. It says, the field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them, talking about the tares, is who? The devil. So the devil sows seeds of wickedness in the field that God has sown righteousness. He puts people, or people that want to do his will, in our midst, whether it's in the church, yes, they come to church, or at the job, to oppose us. And we're not supposed to become hate, we're not supposed to hate them. We're supposed to learn to deal with them in a loving, compassionate way. And sometimes that's hard when you run into people that are in opposition. But the first step is that you just begin to pray for them. And going back to what we just talked about, the God of this world has blinded their mind. You pray that their eyes will be opened so that they can see their desperate need for a Savior. See, people need to know that they're desperately in need of a Savior. The world doesn't accept Jesus because the world thinks they're doing okay. I mean, the average person will tell you, I'm not a bad person. I'm a good guy. I'm a good lady. I try to do good. You try to do good, but let me tell you, you fail most all the time. Not most of the time, all the time. We all fail. But see, we don't realize, we grade our sin on a curve. Well, yeah, I did some things, but I didn't do as much as he did. So our grade is like, I don't know if you guys remember going to school and some classes, the highest score was a failing grade. Like I remember one class I had, I think it was 50% was the highest score. But if you grade on a curve, 50% was an A. And then it breaks it down from there. So 50% was like getting 100%, and then whatever you got after the, under that was, you know, A, B, C, whatever. And that's the way people grade their sin. We're all failing, but I'm not failing as bad as they are. I've never been in jail before. You know, I've never shot anybody. I've never stabbed and beat up or murdered anybody. Never raped anybody. Never molested any children. So I'm not as bad as them. No, maybe not, but you're still a sinner. And you still are in desperate need of a Savior. Desperate need. Amen? Desperate means that you can't help yourself. That's what it means to be desperate. And the world needs to see that they are in desperate need of a Savior. Amen? Next, they try to seduce people. We talked about that, to deceive or lead people astray. They trouble people. Demonic forces are sent to trouble people. What does that mean? That means to trouble your thought life. How do people get troubled in their thoughts? Anybody? You worry. Worry is the great troubler of people. Worrying. Always worried about something. Most of the time, something that'll never happen, and you're worried about it. Oh, man, what's going to happen if they come and repossess my car? What am I going to do? Well, they haven't repossessed it yet, so you should be thinking about how can you get some money to pay it so they don't repossess it. That's the better time of what spent thinking, not what will happen if they take my car. Because you'll be down the road walking in the middle of the snow banked because you don't have a car because they repossessed your car. That really hasn't happened, but your mind has taken you there and you're worried about something that hasn't even happened yet. I remember, and I think I may have told this story, I was driving my car, and I was getting on the freeway. This is when the kids were young. I was going downtown, and I got on the freeway. I was about to merge, and I didn't see this car. It was right in the blind spot, so I tried to get over, and the car was, I would have hit it if I'd have got over. So I finally saw it at the last second, and I swerved back over, and all of a sudden, my car started spinning out of control. I'm on the freeway now, and it does like two or three 360s on the freeway and never crosses the line. And then finally it stops and the freeway is going north and my car is facing south. But thank God I'm on the shoulder. So, this has to be God, because how could you control your spin without getting into the flow of traffic? I mean, once it starts spinning, it's over. You lost control. You can try to keep turning the wheel, but you can't keep it from moving that way, right? I mean, anybody ever been in a spin out before? So anyway, after I stopped, all of a sudden, my heart started racing, and I tried, and I was afraid all of a sudden. And I told myself, no, there's not time to be afraid now. It's over. There's nothing to be afraid. God protected you. You don't need to be afraid. And that I'd say that because fear comes in when it's not reasonable to be afraid. If I was going to be afraid, it was when the car was spinning, right? Because I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know where I'm going to end up. I mean, you're just going around in a circle, so you really don't know where you are. It's just like going, like when you were young. You can't do that as you're old, because right now I'm even dizzy. But you go in a circle, and you spin long enough, you don't know where, you start getting wobbly. And the fear tried to jump on me. I said, I refuse to be afraid. The thing is over now. And, Lord, I thank you that I'm safe. I thank you. And then I found out later, when I got off the freeway, that I had a flat tire. Never, and I'm driving on it, and this is the car that I had was an amazing car, because you couldn't tell. I mean, most of the time when you get a flat tire, your car is like this, right? That car, you couldn't even tell, had a flat tire. So I got off the freeway, and I was going to a hearing. So I got out of the car, found it was flat, had to park it, go to the hearing, catch the bus to the hearing, come back. It was in a suit, had to take all my clothes. Well, not take all my clothes off, but take my shirt and tie and all that stuff off, change the tire, and then come back home. But God had protected me, but fear tried to come upon me after the fact. But a lot of times, fear attacks us before the fact. Before something happens, the devil tries to tell you all the things that could happen, even though they haven't happened. And that's how he troubles your mind. He troubles your mind. And if you buy into it, he will make you, and I say this literally, he will make you go crazy because of fear. Amen? People have lost their minds because they are afraid of either what happened in the past or what could happen in the future or whatever. But they lose perspective because they've been troubled by the enemy. All right, we're going to have to stop here, so we'll try to finish this and then finish the next subject next week. And praise God. So let's stand.
Thank you for listening to today's message. We pray that it would impact you, that you would continue to grow in your life with Christ. Once again, if you would like any more podcasts of our messages at New Creation Christian Center, you can go to www.newcreationwa.org and feel free to download it, share it with your friends and family so people can see how God is changing our lives as we continue to be formed into the new creation that He has called us to be.